Across beds, hearts and bucks.
This is Shrink Wrapped.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
My son, his name's Daniel. He's 16 years old now. And when he was six, he had his first stroke from sickle cell.
He had a stroke?
That's right, yeah. He had a massive stroke. His whole left side was paralyzed. He couldn't do anything for himself. He had to, at six, he was already doing his ABCs, one, two, three, but after the stroke, he couldn't read or write. He couldn't remember things in sequence. His behavior changed totally. And a whole load of other treatments had to start, which included physiotherapy, speech and language, physiotherapy, the OTs, a lot of things. It was really, really life-changing.
Tell me about that day. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, what happened?
It was a build-up, really, over a couple of days, because what happened was he came back from school on the Friday, and he was a bubbly boy, and I said to him, go and change your uniform. And I saw him fiddling with his buttons. He couldn't take the shirt buttons off. So I thought he was messing around. So I did it for him, and I saw he was very hyperactive. But I noticed that his fingers, the tip of his fingers, were quite red, and I really didn't know what it was. So I took him to A&E. So we went to A&E. They said, oh, that there's a virus going around. It must be something like that. So we took him home. So I said, okay, there's no point. On the Saturday, he was quite muddled up, but I said to myself, the sickle cell clinic is on Tuesday. They should know what you know, is happening. So that Tuesday morning, I woke him up, and he was on a bed that is kind of hip height. And I said to him, get up. And he said, oh, like, he was really, really slurred. His voice was really slurred. And he said to me, I can't lift my hand. And I was surprised, and I looked at him, and I noticed that one side of his face has drooped. But, you know, I don't know. It didn't make sense to me what was going on. It didn't ring out stroke to me till I lifted him off the bed and put him on the floor, and he kind of slumped down to one side.
Were you even aware that stroke could be a symptom of sickle cell?
Yes, I was. Yeah, in hindsight, I was, but it's always something that you say, when you see it, you say, oh, it's not going to happen to me, and
sure,
you just flip the page, you know. So I wasn't prepared. I didn't know what the warning signs were. I didn't know anything. And I didn't believe it would happen to my own child. So with all everything that was going on at the time, there was problem with the ambulances and recognizing sickle cell, so I didn't want to call an ambulance. I called a taxi instead. On hindsight, I did every single thing wrong. I fed him even before going to the hospital. But, you know, when I got to the hospital and I saw the nurse in the corridor, I shouted, Danny's had a stroke. And that was the first time it just hit me that, yeah, this is a stroke.
What was the impact of it? I mean, how did it leave him afterwards?
Oh, for 2 years he was in a wheelchair. He couldn't do anything. I had to bath him, feed him. I had a two-year-old at the time. He was six. So in the end, mentally, I had to say to myself, well, Danny is now a two-year-old. So I had to start treating him like a two-year-old. And in a way, it did help me to cope. But, you know, psychologically, it builds up. And you know that your child really isn't a two-year-old. You want him to be, you know, the age he's had. But, you know, that was one of my coping techniques.
Of course. And what happened at school? And, you know, obviously his education came to a full stop at that point, I imagine.
That's right. He was in hospital for a month, and he was in a private Christian school, and they came to the discharge planning meeting and said that they won't have him back. So
because of his disability?
Yeah, they said they couldn't cope, that they wouldn't have him back. So we had to start looking for another school. But before that, he was home tutored for about 3 months till our local primary school took him on, and they could only take him on at a half day till he got a full statement. So it was really hard, even in school, because they didn't understand. And after starting school, within 2 weeks, he had another stroke in the school.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
He had two strokes.
He had two strokes within 6 months.
Oh.
And prior to those initial strokes, they found out from the MRI that he had had been having silent strokes from about three years old. And he has another condition called Moya Moya, which is where he has extensive narrowing in his brain.
Carol, since then, how would you describe his recovery?
I'll describe his recovery as a miracle. It's nothing short of a miracle, because the way he bounces back, I mean, he had two strokes then, but he went on, he's had a total of six major strokes at the moment.
Six.
And that doesn't include the mini strokes that he's had. But he always bounces back from there. He's no longer in a wheelchair. He likes to play basketball. You know, he's just your normal teenager, but with a capital N, because obviously he still has to go for blood transfusions every 3 weeks. He still has to take medication for the sickle cell, the penicillin and all that. And, you know, he just bounces back and he just wants to be as normal as possible. So, you know, I try and support him and not limit him in what he wants to do, because he's a very determined young man. So he
must be. I mean, to have got this far, just what enormous strength that you both have, you know, and strength of character. And what he's going through now, you mentioned he has every 3 weeks he has to have a blood transfusion. I mean, is it just kind of routine then now, just part of day-to-day life?
Yeah, it's part of day-to-day life. It's been 10 years he's been having it now. And we're just coming to the age of transition where at some point he'll have to be going by himself. So some days I try and let him go by himself. Sometimes I try not to stay there with him. So it's just coming to the age of being independent and being able to carry on with his treatment after he turns 18. So that is a struggle for him and for me, because as a parent going through all that, you don't know when to start letting go or whether you should let go. And then there's the fear that he gets frustrated with it as well and doesn't really want to do it. So whether he'll continue with the blood transfusions once he goes to adults, I'm not too sure.
Because at that point it becomes entirely his choice, does it?
That's right,
yeah.
That's right.
In setting up the charity, you must have then met other parents of children who have had strokes as a result of sickle cell.
Yes, that's right, because when it happened to me, I thought I was the only one. Mm. I asked the nurses to put me in touch with other families, and they said, oh, Data Protection Act, we can't do that. But when it happened to me, all of a sudden I started getting phone calls from other parents. My child had a stroke. The nurse said, I should call you. And I thought, what about the Data Protection Act?
For you. It doesn't apply to you. Sorry, Carol.
Yeah, so we started as a support group, supporting each other. And, you know, each person's journey with stroke is totally different. None are the same, although I have met quite a few that have Moya Moya as well, because statistically it affects about 1 in 100,000 children. Mm. And already in the charity I know of 5, you know. So it's a group that supports each other. We work mainly with children that have had stroke and children, you know, across the board that have sickle cell. So what we do mainly is to provide, you know, recreational activities for them. We take them out. We do workshops and seminars, both with the children and the health professionals, especially with the children, for them to learn how to look after themselves, how to manage themselves, and all those things that are not actually spoken. Because with sickle cell, there's a lot that isn't said. There's a lot of denial. There's a lot of stigma and taboo surrounding it. So I've met children that the mums have said to them, don't tell them in school you have sickle cell. For what reason, I don't know, but it's...
But as you say, you know, everyone's different, and, you know, for symptoms can be embarrassing or difficult or mean, you know, life isn't normal. And that is a hard thing to get your head around, I guess.
It is.
For
it
some
is.
People.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even for me, my own son, he always says to me sometimes, I just want to be normal. And, you know, you try and say to him, what's the definition of being normal? What is normal? You know, normal for person A is different from person B. And when it's to do with sickle cell, it differs greatly. And, you know, to be normal is just a term that I believe that, you know, they use to kind of put themselves down. But children that have sickle cell, I've noticed they're extra, extra intelligent. You know, they're really good and determined and achieving what they want in life. All they need is support.
Yeah.
They need positive support.
What do you hope that, you know, your son will go on to do? I mean, is, you know, all options open to him, whatever he wants to do in life?
Yes, he's going into college this September. He's made up his mind that he wants to be a physiotherapist, and I've encouraged him. And he's going to be doing some work placement with a physiotherapist.
I mean, that's amazing, you know. He's 16 years old and he knows what he wants to do. That's half the battle.
Yeah, he does, he does.
That's quite something. And just very quickly, a word on, is a brother or sister he's got?
He's got a sister.
How's it been for her?
Oh, it's really hard. It's really hard because, you know, sometimes I do feel guilty that I neglect her sometimes. And she'll come out and she'll say, can we do mother-daughter shopping today? Then alarm bells start ringing that maybe I haven't done enough with her, you know, that week.
Listen, all parents feel that. If you've got more than one kid, it's hard, isn't it? You know, regardless of the condition of the children, to spend time individually doing stuff. You know, I took one of my daughters for fish and chips the other day, just us two, because I thought, oh no, I don't spend enough time with her. Everybody feels like that.
Yes, it happens.
It does, absolutely. Yeah. You're remarkable, Carol.
Thank
you really
you.
Are, and may I say, very glamorous.
Oh, thank you.
You look great on that programme. You really did.
Yeah, the garden has been really life-changing for us as well, actually.
I bet. What does it look like, just for those who didn't see the show? It's still on ITV Player, by the way. You can still watch it.
It is, yeah. From Amazon forest to chic garden.
Is that what it was like? It was like the Amazonian rainforest.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a pleasure talking to you. Just give the... Is there a contact number for the charity? The best
details? Yes, definitely. The number to contact us is 0207-277-2777. And
nice,
the website
easy.
Is www.scyss.org.